Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21. Heavenly Father, help us as we walk with the King that we'll keep our eyes upon Him and that we will love Him and serve Him. Thank you for this Bible study of the life of David that has so challenged my own heart. I pray that you'll speak to the hearts of God's people. And if there's an unsaved loved one here, Lord, save them. Then, Lord, if there's someone here that has gotten cold and backslidden and indifferent, Lord, I pray you'll bring him back to the Savior, as you did David whenever he wandered away to the Philistines. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to see what can happen whenever we get into a backslidden state. I pray that you'll bless and fill and anoint the preacher. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look with me, if you will, please, in 1 Samuel chapter 21. Now, we have been going through 1 Samuel, the life of David, King David. Of course, David is the picture and type of our blessed Lord, and is probably our Lord associates with him more than any other man in the Word of God. But today we're going to look at something practical and look at verse chapter 21 in verse 10. Now David is, and if we're walking with the King, and we've seen him as he has been anointed, and as he has, of course, Saul tried to kill him and he escapes and so on and so forth. And as he goes into Abimelech, Ahimelech, and then as Saul and Doeg try to conspire to get rid of all the prophets. And then you see David here in verse 10, arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dancing, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And David laid up those words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. Now I want you to notice this. I want you to watch the irrational behavior of a man who was after God's own heart. Here he is. The absurd ways he behaves whenever he gets away from God. And instead of trusting in the Lord to save him from Saul, he starts trusting in himself and in the flesh to save him from Saul. And he goes into Philistia, the king of Gath. Well, I read some commentaries, and it said that Pink said, when a real Christian, a saint of God, is out of touch with God, when he is in a backslidden state, his conduct represents a strange enigma. And his instant ways are such as no psychologist can explain. He does the strangest things and acts almost like an unsaved person. You say, why in the world is a man like King David, who God has anointed, who God said, I will get a man who's after my own heart. Now, why is he acting like he's acting? Because he's trusting in the flesh. Notice some things about the behavior of David as he goes to Gath. Notice the move. It says two things about it. Why did he move? In verse 10, he moved for the fear of Saul. God wasn't in that. He went to Gath because he was afraid of Saul. Now notice, he moved because he was afraid of Saul. Because he was afraid of an earthly sovereign far more than he was afraid of a heavenly sovereign. In other words, he was going to run and make his bed with the Gathites, or those from Gath, the Philistines. Now, David makes a move, and David responded not in faith, like he did whenever he faced Goliath in the valley. He responds now in fear and flesh. So be sure when you keep your eyes on the Lord. And notice how David responded to this challenge. The first one, he responded by faith. And he, I'm coming in the name of the Lord. And he faced Goliath, remember? And he trusted in the power of God and the power of not the power of the flesh. But faith is the key to victory. Listen, last night my mind, God kept going over my, unto him who is faithful, unto him who is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. So keep your eyes upon the Lord. That's the key to victory. The flesh is the key to defeat. Why did he move? For the fear of Saul, verse 10 says. Notice, where did he move? To Achish, the king of Gath. Does that ring a bell with you? Gath? Who was to Achish? That notice four things about that little phrase. Notice it says in verse 10, and David went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David? Hey, the king of Israel? Who else was from Gath? Goliath. He's going into the enemy territory. He is making a move now, and he had warred and defeated them many times. He had fought. They were the enemies of God. They were the enemies of David. But now he's in a backslidden condition. He's emotions doing his thinking for him. He's walking in the flesh. He's not thinking correctly. And he goes and combines it, goes in with the people at the enemy to God. And he goes on their side. Why? Well, it's absurd many times what backslidden, irrational people will do. If he felt unsafe in Israel with Saul on his heels, why in the world would he go into feel like he'd be safer in Gath, where he had just slain their champion? See the irrational, absurd thinking of the behavior of this man that's walking in the flesh. He wouldn't be safe with the Philistines. That was the town where Goliath was from, and David would be about as welcome there as a skunk is in a perfume factory. You wouldn't be welcome with in the hometown of Goliath. Come on, David, you're walking in the flesh. You're acting like an unsaved person. What's this? Not only would you see the war, but look at the warrior. This is the warrior, their greatest champion had been slain by David. Goliath had been slain by the man that he went and joined. The weapon, what weapon did he take? Well, he took the sword. Don't eat the bread. Elijah had just called fire down from heaven, and the nation was saying the blessings was there. And then the nation was ready for a great revival. And then a woman sent him a note and said, I'm going to head your head. And Elijah had killed 450 prophets, had carried all the water from the Mediterranean Sea, and built the altar, and slain all these, and outrun the chariot. And now he is physically and emotionally and mentally exhausted. And here comes the trial. What is the Lord trying to teach us? I said, Lord, we are continually walking with the King. Walking with the King. Hallelujah. Walking with the King. And as you get into chapter 22, you'll see more evident that in these two Psalms, David got right with God. And David started walking as the King as he goes into chapter 22. Be here next Sunday and you'll find out. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. With their heads bowed and their eyes closed, no one looking around. Are you walking with the King? You have your eyes on the flesh? What are you trying to do? Who are you trying to please? Tabernacle Baptist Church? Loved ones? Visitors? Friends? You'll all stand before God one day and give an account. Let's keep our eyes on Him. If God's speaking to your heart, you say, Lord, help me to be more like Jesus, more like the Master. I want to be more like Him. I want to be more like Him. Whatever it takes, more like Jesus is my plea. More like Jesus, He died for me. If you're saved, that's your desire. Now, if you aren't saved, you're trying to work your way to heaven. My friends, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us. The only two kinds of religions in the world, only two, that is a do and a done. Do, do, do. I got to do this, do this, do this, do this, and I'll may make it to heaven one day if I'm good enough. No. He said, Tetelestai, it is finished. He finished it. And for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, not of works that any man should boast. It is a gift of God. Now, maybe you're here and you're not saved. I want you to know that He'll save you. You can be saved. We're going to sing a stanza of Just As I Am Without One Plea, but that thy blood be shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come to thee. God's speaking to your heart. Maybe you're here and you're not saved. You need to come. Or maybe you're here and you're cold and indifferent. I don't know what your problem is. Or maybe you're here and you'd like to join this church by letter or by statement. Well, Baptist Church receives members. You come. Will you please? As we sing a stanza. Come on, Brother Andy. That's right. Come on. Thank God for the prayer.
Is there another one?
Come on. That's right.
One
is there another one? That's right. Come on.
Thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Just look up here just a moment. Folks, we have a little matter of business we've got to take care of. We have had, through the years, I don't know how many men that have been ordained out of this ministry. The ordination council met, and councils don't ordain people. We just question them. And Scott Lacey came here. Where are you, Scott? Come here, son. Where's Scott and his wife? Where's you? Come on. Here's a young man that came here, got saved. 10 years, and the Lord saved him, called him to the ministry. Did you get your master's? You get your master's. And he is going to Kent, Washington, where Brother Art Sinsky is. And he and his wife have been called there, and they're going there to be the principal or teach in their school. Is that right? Okay. And Dr. You have the Doc Flater. You were the moderator of that, or the secretary. You have the minutes. Okay. Do we have that? Dr. Flater, where's the, oh, he's not here. Dr. Coggio, you was in on that. Would you make a motion that we ordain him? Did he do a good job? Were you proud of him? We really were a church. We were so proud of Scott, the way he answered the question. And Dr. Coggio makes a motion that we, as a church, ordain this young man. Do I hear a second to that? All right. Do I hear a big hearty amen? All in favor? All right. Any opposed? All right. Here's what it says. A certified of ordination. We that hereby certify that upon the recommendation and the request of the Tabernacle Baptist Church at Virginia Beach, Virginia, which has fully and sufficiently opportunity for judging his gifts after satisfactory examined by us, in regards to his Christian experience, call to the ministry, and views of Bible doctrine, Curtis Scott Lacey was solemnly and publicly set apart and ordained to the work of the gospel ministry by the authority of Tabernacle Baptist Church, Virginia Beach, Virginia, on the 16th day of July, 1999. I'd like for Scott and his wife to come right down here, would you? I want to give you this. We're not going to ordain her, but we're going to, I want you to bow right there, Scott, and your wife, and I want the deacons and this our committee of men council. Would you come and let's lay hands on him, please, deacon, ordination council. Come on, fellas. Brother Ken Dorhout generally does this, but Ken's not back yet. I called last night. They've had their baby, and I expected them in for this, but they're not here. Come on. All right. I'm going to ask Brother Cargill, would you please present him with this Bible and ask God to bless him on he and his wife and family as they go.